New media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro.
What's up, people of tomorrow? Roxy Stryer here, which means that I am not Kevin Undergaro. He is on a mission back east, and boy, is he getting put to work. Wow. Michael Klaus warming up the seat over there at the bar.
I feel like I need to be drinking since I'm at the bar, so I'm going to crack open one of these vodkas.
Well, excuse me. The first mistake you made is if you're sitting at the
bar.
Thank you, the bar.
B-A-H.
B-A-H.
Okay.
How do you spell bar? Trick question.
B-A, is it one H, two H's? Does it matter? Does it
depends how sloppy you're getting.
Bah. Like, see how I say you say bah.
Like, are you going to the bah or are you at the bah?
Good point.
I don't think ever multiple H's, multiple A's at times.
Ooh, yeah.
Kind of like a goat?
Yep.
Like, oh, this damn bah.
The bah.
Yeah. And of course, in the booth. Bonjour, Juliet.
Hey, Roxy. How you doing?
I'm doing
Captain.
Well. Oh, boy.
Ooh.
What a title. I'm in the yellow.
Fancy.
You want to know what I even did tonight for you guys?
What'd you do?
And nobody even said anything, which is fine, I guess. I put on lipstick.
Whoa!
Fancy. Big day.
Fancy, fancy.
It's one of those lipsticks that's the color of my actual lips, so it's like, why did I spend $30 on this thing that just makes it look like my lips are a little drier?
It's the same one you wear, Michael?
I went nude tonight as well.
Mm.
Nude lipstick? Yeah.
It's looking really glossy. A little glossy.
I don't know why I'm batting my eyelashes.
Is that you imitating how a female shows their lips? Anybody?
I think that's any guy who's like, how do women do that? And they're like, oh.
So this is that moment in the show where if you are on iTunes, pause and flip over to Facebook so you can see Michael's best impression of how women bat their eyes at pretty boys just like Michael. So, Kevin, wow, this man doesn't get a break. Like most people, Michael, I know you're going home for a little bit. Most people when you go home.
It's a vacation.
Yeah, you get to relax. You stay at your parents' house. Maybe they bring you a meal or two. You lay out a little bit or whatever your MO is. Kevin Undergaro
is
not good at vacationing. I'll just say that straight up.
I think he works harder when he's away than when he's here.
I know, but here's the thing. Not that he ever complains, but if he ever were to, he can't sit still. He cannot lay in the sun. Have you ever tried to pool potty with him? Because it doesn't really happen. Like, if he's laying out even in his own yard, he's like, you see that shrubbery over there?
This needs work.
Here's what I'm going to do to that. You see over to the left? Here's my plan for this. So Kevin is back east, and he is working on a couple different things. Bonjour. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about what he is doing back there. Do you know what?
He's scamming away.
Oh, just scamming. It's
just
a scam situation.
Well, you can see from the picture, he's doing construction work. And again, look at how happy.
Is that what you can tell from this picture? Because to me, it just looks like a man standing on a roof.
A selfie on a roof. On a roof.
Here's another compliment for Kevin, which he doesn't get complimented enough on this, and I don't understand why. Kevin has the best selfie arms of anybody I've ever met.
Well, you said on the show that you were surprised by the length of his arms one day.
He's longer than he is tall, which is very rare and really good in basketball. His wingspan is wild. Like, I can't take a selfie to save my life because of my midge kid little arms. Like, I can't even get myself in, let alone if I try to put somebody else in. But this is a really good selfie. You got to give it to him. Also, that scruff is looking pretty good, Kev.
I think if there's, a list of compliments that Kev would like to receive, I think taking great selfies
is on
has
there
to be, like, he would appreciate that being top three.
Yeah, especially from a millennial such as myself.
Especially from a millennial, be like, Kev, your selfie game, real strong.
Yeah. I wonder what Kev would think about this, the first thing we're going to talk about. But just to tease a couple of other things we're going to discuss in this show tonight, because it's going to be a good one. I have a bone to pick with the situation. I'm very frustrated with how some hosts in Los Angeles are handling themselves. So I want to talk about that. I also had a really endearing / intriguing interaction with my 93-year-old grandfather that I want to get your guys' take on. And we've got so much uplifting news to talk about this week. You know, like Louis C.K.'s comeback that we've all been so anxiously waiting for with bated breath, ? John McCain, what happened at the Madden event. So, you know, a bunch of laughter is coming to you in tonight's
episode.
Louis
C.K. really brought the jokes, so we're bringing them too.
Ooh, but do we have that sound drop?
It was bad.
No, it wasn't even deserving of it. I saw Bonjour like look at the board for a second, and then she was like, no. Not only do we not have that, but even if we did, I'm not playing that.
And yours is so good anyway. So.
Oh, yeah. I should be a soundboard in another life. Ba-dum-tsh. Are those two good? All right. Let's talk about this host in an LA group that I'm having an issue with right now. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who doesn't know, I know that you guys are both members of this group as well. I'm a member of this group. There's a Facebook group called Host in LA. It has probably, what would you say, Michael, a few thousand people in there?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, a few thousand.
So it is all different kinds of hosts in Los Angeles. Now, hosts is a really weird word for people that aren't in the entertainment industry. I don't know if you guys find this, but when you tell people at home what you do, if you say you're a host, they say, huh?
They say, what restaurant?
Well, yeah. What restaurant do you work at? What do you – how does that make sense? It's not like saying I'm a singer, I'm an actor, I'm a musician. People don't get it. And I don't really understand why that is. But for anybody who's home who doesn't get it, no worries. It's because it covers a huge area of the industry. It is people who talk about entertainment. It's journalists. It's people who cover the news. It's people who do long-form interviews. It's people who do red carpets, who do junkets. There's so many different kinds of hosts. And they all are in that group. People from 18 to, I don't know, I would guess the oldest person in the group's probably in their 70s.
Yeah, definitely.
Like all different kinds of people. So thousands of people. And it really is a very interesting Facebook group because a lot of times people book work there. It's a page where people comment, we're looking for this kind of person to fill in for this job, or we're hiring for this, or does anybody have advice on this, or can anybody sorry, I'm laughing because I'm watching Bonjour try to kill a fly in the booth right now. It's pretty amazing.
I didn't want to distract you, but I was like, it's my chance.
I thought Bonjour was trying to like wave me down and tell me something, write me a message. I was like, wow, I must be really messing up if she's like waving that frantically. and then I saw the fly. I hit the glass so hard. So people write all different messages in there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like every week, there's a love link and you post if you have a new reel or if you've done something. And people tend to be pretty supportive in this
group. It's a community to a certain extent.
Definitely. Now, I would say that probably of the 4,000 people in this community, how many did you say there were?
There's currently 2,900.
Okay. Of the 3,000 people in this group, there's probably 100 incredibly active members, and the rest, like the three of us in this room, just periodically check in on it. So I've only ever posted maybe a handful of times in the years I've been in this group. But today what happened drove me to post because I could not stand by and not say anything. Here's what happened. A guy who I know not well, but he does many red carpets. He's a big red carpet guy. And when you do a lot of red carpets, you start to interact with people. You talk to them about equipment, and then you talk to them the next time you talk to them about the stars, and the next time you're learning about their kids, and you get friendly with these people who are next to you. So this has nothing to do with him personally. He's never been anything but nice to me and anything but helpful and supportive. And actually, I believe he knows Kevin, and they worked together at one point, and he's very fond of Kevin and Maria and says that they've been really helpful to him. So this guy is somebody who I have liked up until this point and still like, but didn't appreciate this particular post. He found a video of a girl who is in the Hosts in LA group who has been out in Los Angeles for maybe a year tops, who went on her first red carpet. And Michael, would you say it's fair to say she was not particularly impressive on the carpet?
Yeah, she seemed rushed. And when you're a host, and sometimes when you feel rushed, you go to one of two sides. You either go to the not say a lot, or you say too much.
And she went to the too much side. Mm-hmm. Carpets are incredibly difficult. And even if you have hosted many other things before, every person, again, in this room knows that there is a difference between a panel discussion and going on a red carpet. Bonjour, I think you did your first red carpet this year. You can speak a little bit about, or maybe last year, about the nerves of the situation going into it.
Yeah, I mean, anyone, even if you're not a host, I'm sure can relate to the feeling of just doing something very new for the first time that you know, it's a passion of yours and you want to do a good job at it. And it's very nerve-wracking. There's so many people there.
And now add A-list celebrities to that. So nerve-wracking, yes. Anytime you're trying anything new, yes. But now somebody you've looked up to your entire life. And the very first interview, the very first carpet this girl is doing is with Matthew McConaughey, who is maybe one of the top 25 biggest actors in Hollywood, arguably. He's massive. Talk about an A-lister. So add nerves to nerves for this situation.
Not to mention for a female, I mean, interviewing Matthew McConaughey, she probably had a crush on him at some point.
Yeah, he's a cutie in some things.
For sure.
I would not say this was his best looking carpet, but no. I know what you mean. I am a massive fan of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. So that's my Matthew.
I mean, he looked good in Sahara too. Just saying. So, I can say that.
So her interview, she's green, and it wasn't particularly strong. She interrupted a couple of times, and she overspoke, and that was that. This guy decided to find the interview. He posted it in the group, and I would say bashed her. He was like, "This girl, how do we make this stop? This is so disappointing. I feel sick by this. This is what she – this is the interview." He never posted her name, but obviously she says it in the interview. He never posted the outlet, but obviously she said it. And he tagged a bunch of veteran hosts in the group and was like, "Watch this and let me know what you guys think." So off the bat, before I tell you guys how I reacted to this, Bonjour, what do you think about somebody posting that in a public forum?
Well, I think also why, like, to – I think that's my biggest question is listening to all of that is why would you do that? I don't understand, honestly.
Right. Michael?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think part of the reason why he posted it was – I think his – and I think this goes back to intention versus kind of what happened. And I'm giving him some points for intention.
Which is what I said.
This is an issue sometimes where you have a lot of people in an industry that is overcrowded and people who are not necessarily trained or have gone through training. Because I don't want to speak that it's the people's fault for training them badly. Sometimes they're just not that well trained. And you have people who are doing things for free, which means you're getting people who are not maybe the best at what they do. And so I think he was fed up as someone probably who is experienced of seeing these people with less experience kind of make things bad for him. If you're a host, makes hosts look bad. But I think the way he went about it is completely inappropriate. Like you said, on a public forum, bashing this person, and it just was uncalled for.
So I commented back and I said, basically, I think this was unnecessary. If you would like to help this girl and educate her, which we're all about, then reach out to her individually and send her some tips and let her know, because I'm not standing here behind this interview saying this is the best interview of all time. But was she being malicious? No. Was she being manipulative? No. Was she being green? Absolutely. Were we all green at one time? Yes. Are we all still growing? And should that be what we're striving for every single day? Continuing to grow? Yes. He responded to me saying, I'm giving constructive criticism. My only intention is to help this person. That's why I posted it. And everybody agrees with me, which is why there's this thread. So right now in the group, we're going back and forth, and it's become team him v team Roxy.
But he seems, unless I'm misunderstanding, but from his response, he kind of is on the same page as you. He's just not doing it in the right manner.
So that's what I said. I said, I'm not questioning your intentions because, frankly, I don't know you well enough to do that. But if you would like to help this person, then what you should do is X, Y, and Z. Message them, teach them, educate, let them know why this was wrong, show them proof of what is better. And he was like, I'm going to do that as well. But this is important for all of us to discuss. Do you guys think there's any value in publicly shaming somebody? And would you even consider that publicly shaming somebody?
Well, I'm wondering, and I want you to take on this. Do you think he was just publicly shaming the host or the outlet / the person running that outlet as well?
It seemed to me like the host, and I really think the problem is, number one, of course, the guy who posted this to make this public, but number two, the outlet for posting this video because they wanted clicks because it's Matthew McConaughey and not looking at the video and seeing that this doesn't paint Matthew in a good light and it doesn't paint the very young 22-year-old fresh to Los Angeles first carpet host in a good light.
Well, I also think it's the responsibility of the outlet / the person hiring them who runs the outlet to make sure that someone is properly trained before putting it out, before putting them on that stage where they're set to fail.
And standing by the person.
And standing by. Yeah. And like you said, why post this? Yeah. It's Matthew McConaughey and Clayton Kershaw, which you're a sports fan. One of the best Major League Baseball players out there right now. Plays for the Dodgers. And I get your incentive for posting it of like, oh, it's a big name start. But again, it does no good. Like, it doesn't paint anyone well. And in that case, you're not focused on how big the stars are. How big the stars are makes you look even worse.
I agree.
High risk, high reward. And you just lost.
I agree. I think that a lot of this goes back to Kevin's new Hollywood model, which is about helping people and knowing that you don't need to knock somebody down in order to lift yourself up. There's room for everybody in this industry. It's not like there's a set cap at 152 people, and if you're not one of them, you can't be in this industry. We should all learn and grow together. And he has a decade or more, maybe two decades on this girl, the person who posted it. And I think he has if he either say nothing and be that person, or I think if you have an obligation, if you would like to change the current climate and you want to help somebody, to personally reach out to them.
I do want to say, though, I think it's an important discussion to have because it is the state of our industry where, as we've talked about several times in this show and Kevin's mentioned, I mean, the money is no longer there. And what is that doing to the credibility of our industry? Because certainly the clip that he posted, that's not the first time like something like this has happened. I'm sure it happens literally on a weekly basis.
So why not write?
And it does impact all of us who are credible hosts because you're lumped in, and it will make – I guarantee Matthew McConaughey is next junk and is going to be like, oh, do I have to talk to another one of these reporters? I remember what happened last time. It made me look good. And it does impact us. So I will give him credit that I think it is an important discussion to have.
Do you think he could have had the same conversation with posting, hey, guys, just watched an interview in which the host was cutting off the people next to her and also was cutting off the celebrity. What do you guys think we should do to stop this situation?
I think it would have done 85% of the good.
So you kind of stand behind what he did.
I think it is. It's tough. It's a catch-22 because I don't want to call the girl out, but to a certain extent, having a name and a face does get more accomplished. If that sounds bad, it's like whenever a politician is pushing something, they're not just saying, oh, this will affect all farmers. They're talking about Joe, who lives in Iowa and has had a generational farm for the past 65 years. And when you tie a face to it, people care more. Now, granted, people care on both ends of the spectrum. You have us hosts who are very much defending this person, as we should. She's one of our own. But it also does make it more personal of like, wow, this really is an issue that we need to talk about and be able to help these people grow, be able to help all hosts and outlets do a better job. How do we do this? And we wouldn't be caring as much or having this conversation if there wasn't a name attached to it.
I think that him writing back to me saying, "We're all on the same team, though, and that's why I said this here," is a load of BS. Because, by the way, bonjour, that one was for your mom. I've been censoring myself more.
Ooh.
Oh, did you see? I said BS. And earlier in the show, I said crap instead of what I wanted to say.
Oh, well, look at you.
You're welcome, Mrs. Bonjour. That's what I call your mom now. So I think that it's a load of crap, because if somebody's really on your team, what do? You pull them aside. Mm-hmm. You don't, in front of 3,000 people, say, "Here's what you did wrong." And that's where I feel like it didn't actually help. And am I watching that being like, is he posting it saying, "We should all watch this and see how we can learn from this and we can grow"? No, he said, "This is very disappointing to me and we need this to stop now."
He didn't handle it well.
Piss off, sir.
Yep.
Kindly piss off, sir.
Kindly piss off.
All right. So let us know what you guys think about this, because it is a little insider baseball, but I do think it relates to just how, in general, in 2018, we should handle people at the workplace or people who are making mistakes, and what is the best form of education. So let us know on Facebook in the comments. That's what you do on Facebook,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we got people in the live chat right now.
Ooh, are they some of our fans and some of our friends?
Brandy's
and some of our
in
people?
There. All of our friends are in there.
Hey-o.
I think, though, another lesson, because if you have a bone to pick with anyone and you think they're doing a bad job, talk to them in person. It's not just in this instance. It's anyone that you see who you know or you could get in contact with, reach out to him a bit that way. Because reaching out on Facebook and blasting it out, you're like, now you just want the publicity. You want the fame.
I wonder if she saw it.
Oh, I guarantee she had to have seen it.
Really?
Some, in the community that we live in, and as hosts, people will text. And I guarantee she got a text that said, "Hey, guess what? You were mentioned in this post." But it's also the same as, like, I mean, when I was in the news, we got it all the time. Of like people commenting on the Facebook page for the studio. It was like, "Why is this person even on TV? Blah, blah, blah." And you're like, ugh.
Bonjour, if this had been your first carpet and this had happened to you, would you have done another carpet again?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I want the answer to be yes.
But you just don't know. I was trying to soul search today and think about that. You don't want to crush somebody's dream before it even starts.
Yeah. But I do have to say, I mean, this, you know, this industry and many industries are really rough, and I'm definitely not condoning it, but it's true that you get, what's the expression? You get pushed off the horse and then you get
bucked off the horse.
Bucked off the horse and you have to get back on the horse.
Yep.
I've never even heard that. I've heard "get back on the horse" is the first part of that. You get bucked off the horse.
Yep.
Wow.
You just got to get back on.
There's more to the expression than I ever
Hop back on the saddle.
Us people on the East Coast don't say that, really. must be a Midwest/French thing. Let's talk a little bit about my 93-year-old amazing grandfather, Popo, who, if you guys know me at all, I feel like I mention Grammy and Popo 17 times a day.
What?
Those are my grandparents. I'm obsessed with them, and they are my only family out here, so I see them all of the time, and I think that they're like God's gift to Earth. They're the frickin' best. But I don't get a lot of alone time with Popo, because 91 and 93, Grammy and Papa work together all the time. And Grammy is a talker and Papa is pretty quiet. He fought in World War II. He has tons of stories that if you pull them out of him, but he never initiates. So
Grand Marshals.
Yeah, he was the VP of Marshalls. He brought it over to the West Coast and ran the West Coast division, the clothing store. A lot of time when I talk about Marshalls, people don't know unless you say, like, the department store, what you're talking about. And they're like, "Oh, Marshalls. Bonjour knows Marshalls. It's our favorite.
It's my happiest place on earth.
Anytime I see anything adorable she's wearing, I'm like, I love that. She's like, "It's Marshalls."
I want to be their spokesperson one day.
So. You would think I could get a discount there, though. But no. Like, come on. Him being VP doesn't get me anything. He gets a discount, but unless I go with him, I don't get one.
He still gets a discount?
He still gets a discount, but when you're that high up, you get a lifetime, but I think it's only like 10 or 15%.
That's good.
I was hoping it was like 50.
Guess who just joined the chat? Our captain.
Trump. Kevin!
Kevin Nagaro in
Kevin!
The chat!
Kevin! Oh, we're so happy to have
we
you.
Miss
we miss you,
Kev.
You so much. We were talking about you at the top of the episode and how you're really bad at vacationing. So, you know, maybe try to relax a little bit. All right. So go back to Popo for a second. I had a really, really interesting conversation with him today, though, because Grammy was gone at physical therapy and I was just with Popo. And when I tell you guys, I think it's been years since I've been just with Popo. And I was so excited because I just wanted to pick his brain about different stuff. And when somebody is 93, you got to ask all the questions that you want to ask. He has dementia and some of his answers are harder, but if I go back far enough, he's pretty spot on with all the stuff. So one of the things I asked him, and this may or may not be because I'm struggling in my own life and I'm trying to get advice from anybody and anywhere I can, is I said to him, you know, Popo, you've been married to Grammy for 70 years.
Wow.
70 years is a long time. How did you know in the beginning that she was the one? And, you know, I'm expecting some like some moment or some like poignant answer where something happened and it just he knew, or she walked into a room, or and
you
he
always
just said,
liked her, and then there was oh
yeah that thing, and he said she was a looker. Which, by the way, if you go bonjour to my Grammy's Facebook page, Lenore Miller, she has her old headshot, and you will see what Popo means by she was a looker. Seriously worth getting off iTunes right now to switch over to Facebook if Bonjour finds this, because you have no effing idea. She was like, okay, well, Bonjour, this is the French part of you. Lenore is L-E-N-O-R-E. Yeah, Miller. There we go. And if you look at my friend, that's her headshot too. Her old headshot when she was performing for Frank Sinatra and turning down Broadway opportunities because she's like, I want to have a family. Like, damn, right?
Wow,
she was like, she was a movie star level beautiful. But Popo says she was a looker. And I said, that's it? That's how you knew she was the one? He said, well, she was really nice too. I said she was good looking and she was nice. That's what you've got for me.
And she was nice.
So Popo was also a stud, like so hot, had just come back from World War II, was also Jewish, could have had his pick of the litter of all the little East Coast hottie Jewish girls. And I'm like, you had to have gone for a little more than she was a looker and she was nice. And he was like, nope, that's what it was. And 70 years later, she was a looker and she was nice, held up. So I'm wondering at this point, do we put too much weight into who we pick and we should just pick our partner and then make it work as long as they're attractive to us in some kind of way and kind? Like, is that just good enough?
Pick someone who can flow with the go with the punches, I guess, who's like good at working towards things and not closed off.
But he didn't even say that. He just said she was a looker and she was nice.
Have you asked her the question of why she chose him?
Well, remember, Grammy had 12 marriage proposals. She had 12 marriage proposals before she said yes to him. And
from him, not from other people.
12 marriage proposals from other people.
From other people.
Wow.
And so finally he asked her and she said yes. And when I asked her why, she said, I liked him best.
Wow, things were so simple.
I liked him best. I was like, you just liked him best? And that was as easy as it was. It's not like it was an arranged marriage, but at the same time, they met. They thought each other were cute. They liked that each other were friendly. So they got married for 70 years? Like, are we overcomplicating this? Because I feel like I've met a lot of people I think are cute and nice. Should I just pick one of them and marry them?
Do you think it's that in today's age of cell phones and Facebook and Instagram that we know too much about people and it would be easier if we didn't know enough about them?
I don't know if it's that we know too much. I just think that there's too many options.
Are we too greedy?
I think that too, Bonjour. We're way too greedy. I feel like if you put 10 people on an island with 10 other people and they didn't know that there was a world outside, all 10 of them would date the other 10. Yep. You would just pick one and you would be with them forever. Yep. Or you guys would all decide, like, we don't play like that. We switch around. Like, whatever it is, you would just be on the same page. Mm-hmm. But with 6 billion people out there, and every time, especially living in LA, every time I walk out my door, there's 45 people at my step, like, just there. You can't avoid it.
Not literally.
Kind of.
Those are all your stalkers?
No. I mean, they're not waiting at my step. They're walking by. It's like boom, 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 boom. But I mean, in any major city, that's the way it is. There's so many people to pick from that I feel like we psych ourselves out asking, is this the right person? Is this the one? Which, by the way, WTF, again for Mrs. Bonjour, is the one. WTF is the one. Because I'm pretty sure there's probably at least 1 million, that's a real number I'm throwing out there, 1 million people I could end up with in love.
That's a good question for the chat, because that is a question a lot of people have of, like, is there one person out there for each of us, or can you literally fall in love and make it with anyone? That's a question for the chat. Anyone in the chat?
Or not make it with anybody. Like, are you the kind of person? If you're somebody who ends up getting divorced, does it matter who you were with? Would you have gotten divorced to anybody? And if you're somebody who ends up staying married, does it matter who you were with, or would you have just stayed married to anybody? Because I've asked Grammy and Papo about this tons of times, and I'm like, do you guys struggle in your relationship ever? And Grammy was like, yeah, when we were 50, Papo moved out for like 6 months. I was like, what?
What happened?
They were just like arguing, and he was like, I would like to live somewhere else for a little bit. And then he came back. He wasn't seeing anybody else. He wasn't doing anything else. He just was like, he was suffering with like PTSD and all these things, and like with raising the family. And he was like, I just need a little bit of time. But it's not like they didn't have relationship struggles. I mean, this is a man who dropped 36 successful bombs over Germany. That, I mean, that's baggage within itself. And she was a woman who looked like that and had 12 marriage proposals. Talk about baggage also. So it's not like peachy life, perfect life. They made it work because nothing was wrong. They had crap.
You know what one of the best sayings out there is right now?
Because you make up a lot of the sayings you think are great.
No, this is not. I wish I could make this one up. It's great. It's the grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it.
Huh. I like that.
That's cute.
Psalms.
That's not even from the Bible.
1493.
That's not even from the Bible. That's from man's Bible.
What is man's Bible?
Just things we say, I guess.
Men say? Yeah.
It's from the people's the Bible.
Oh.
Mankind's Bible is what I was
going to say. Bonjour, are you under the impression that there is the one for you?
No. I want there to be more than one, honestly.
Whoa, wait, what?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think I feel like you're a different person throughout your, not throughout, but there's different chapters in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I look back on my life, I kind of associate sometimes like a part of my life with someone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a nice, I don't know. And it may be sounding greedy, but I just don't want to be closed off to anything.
Like, do you feel like you're somebody who right now, today, would be fine saying in the future you might get a divorce?
I mean, if it'll happen, it'll happen. But it's that's a sad thought.
Oh, that's sad. I just didn't know if that's what you meant. Like, you want to be with somebody until a different chapter, and then you would like to be with somebody else.
No, it doesn't even relate to me. I think it's just
people in general.
Yeah, it's sad to think there's only one person, and then you might not find that one person. No, I think that there's several people, and it's in function of how you are with your life. And some relationship works at this chapter of your life, but might not work in another chapter of your life.
Michael, you obviously – wait, I didn't even check in. Still virgin?
Still a virgin.
Okay, so you obviously are still a virgin, and you are waiting until marriage. So I would think that you are somebody who does believe in the one, or at least the right one.
I believe in the right one, but I think that right one could be anyone. I don't think
literally anybody.
Literally could be anyone, because it's two of like people change so much. So like you look at it, and that one person, whoever you're with. You know, and I'll take, I'm trying to think, name a relationship. I guess it doesn't matter who it is. You'd go back 10 years before they met. Would they have clicked at that point?
Kevin always talks about this, actually, how he didn't treat women as well until he met Maria. And it was the time in his life where he was ready, and he was ready for her. And partially was her changing his mind about how he was going to move forward. But part of it was just who he was as a person at that time. And I think that timing is kind of everything, as non-original as that is to say. I think about the people that I've dated in the past, and I wonder if I met them later on in life, would it have worked out? I'm pretty positive that the guy that I'm limboing with right now, had we met in 10 years, it definitely would have worked. I'm still not positive if it's going to work now because of where we are in our lives and how challenging it is when you are in your late 20s, early 30s, and you're both trying to – you're still coming up a ladder, and how hard that is.
So, I like what Laura's saying in the chat. She says, I think it's a lot to do with timing, like what you're saying. She's like, where you are in quote-unquote life when you meet, and if you learn and grow together or grow apart. That being said, I think there can be many people that would be a great match at different times in your life.
You know what would be an amazing show? And I shouldn't say this on air because somebody will steal it and make it. But what if there was a TV show called, like, Date Your Fifth Grade Girlfriend? Or date your fifth grade boyfriend, and they put you together with somebody that you were with, like your first person you were ever with, and now you're in your 30s and you're matured and you're more on your career and you're a little more successful than in fifth grade, and now you have to try to date somebody from your past to see if it works.
I'm going home this weekend, and I'm actually getting one of the two people that I actually keep up with from high school. One was a girl who I had a huge crush on, and I'm getting together with her and like another one of our close friends for like dinner on Saturday night. And she's married now with two kids. And it's like, I'm really glad things didn't work. Like, imagine if it, if I had been with that person.
Well, what do you think would have happened? That would have been your life?
I wouldn't have gotten out as much as what I have. I probably wouldn't have gone to college in Ohio 10 hours from where I lived. I certainly wouldn't have then lived in Washington, D.C., Indiana, West Virginia, moved out to L.A. because, like, that's harder when you have a family.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I caught up with my ex this past week, who's an amazing person, great guy. Didn't work out because of life and timing and distance. He's an East Coast person, never leaving. I'm a West Coast person, never leaving. And but I catch up with him a couple times a year, and I ran over an old email from him. Ran over sounds like I hit it with my car. I found it, and so I decided to call to catch up with him. And it's so fascinating because he has a girlfriend now, and they are living this wild life where, like, they are going on vacation. He works a finance job, so they go on like three vacations a year and are very well off and do dinner with their couple friends and live this whole little Long Island-y life. And I would die if that was my life. And no judgment on that, because, like, rock on. That's what you always wanted.
And you're very happy for that person in the situation that they're in.
100%. But I could never live that life.
Nope.
So it is weird to look at your exes and see the life that they – a couple of my exes are now married with kids also. Yeah. And I think, like, oh boy.
But I think too, like, like with that girl, and that, again, I think if you – is that – would that person be open to changing? Like, if I was, could I still maybe have done what I did? And being able to move or take this career. And that's where I think...
Would their life have been different, not yours?
Would their life be different? But also, like, that's where I think, yeah, how much are you... You grow together. And you choose to do different things and not to do different things because of the other person. And that's why I think anyone, if you're open enough, that anyone can make something work.
Bonjour. You think if you took any exes of yours, you could make it work?
Maybe. I know. It's funny to think of it, right? Because it's like, well, what could have been... I'd be same thing. I think living back home and
in France.
Yeah. Things wouldn't be. Yeah. I'd be full on French.
There's that episode of Friends. It's actually two episodes. It's pretty amazing.
What could have been?
Yeah.
What's it called?
The one that something, the one that could have
been
something like that, where you see what everybody's life could have been, and Monica never lost all of that weight, and like Phoebe was in finance and all that. And it always makes me think about my life. If I went a different direction, there was a moment in time where I was like, maybe I should be, and it was, obviously this is how it happens. It was right around when my mom was sick, and I was like, maybe I should be a doctor. And then I could fix people. But like, I would suck as a doctor and I shouldn't be a doctor. But what if I decided to go, you guys wouldn't know this from some of the ways that I speak on the show, but I'm a very smart person and I did very well in school. And I'm pretty positive that I could have physically been a doctor if I tried. No offense to any doctors out there. I'm not saying it's not difficult. I'm just saying when I put my mind to something, I usually can do it. So what would my life look like then? I think I'd be miserable because I don't know what that would look like. Everybody's has their alternate universe. Anybody who's a comic book fan,
I think you can tell people who can find contentment in anything.
Yeah.
And the people who are always like, no, but I want the next thing. I want this next thing. And those are the people you're never going to be content. If you can find contentment in the little things, no matter what they are, you can be happy. And I think those are the people who have a higher chance. If we're looking at people who have a higher chance of making it in a relationship, it's the people who can find joy in little things and who are happy with the littlest.
You know what that is a great transition into, Michael?
What's
that? That's something that I've really actually taken to heart recently about finding joy in the littlest things and not having money be the only thing that brings you joy. So this is something that's challenging for people. I would say 90% of people, right? How to be happy when you're not financially doing well. Mm-hmm. That's a very challenging thing. And you guys know on the show, if you're a fan of the show, I grew up pretty wealthy. I wanted for almost nothing. I lived in a massive house, and whatever I wanted to eat, I ate. And whenever I wanted to get my nails done, I did. And every other year we went to Florida and we had a summer house, and I grew up pretty wealthy. Now, I didn't grow up as wealthy as some of my friends because I lived in a very affluent neighborhood. So I didn't know how wealthy I was at the time, but I grew up, you know, doing pretty well. And when I moved out here, I was helped out by my family a lot. And then you hit the age where you're no longer helped out by your family. And I'm not saying that like they're not supportive. My father's ridiculously supportive, just not financially.
Was that your decision or their decision?
It was, or both? It was a long time of conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, it was not, you are getting cut off at 22. It was, I'm going to help you. Like, while you need, when you don't, I'm going to trust you're going to say you don't. And for a while, there were months where it was like, I don't need your help this month. I do need your help this month. Mm-hmm. Can you help me this month? How much can you help me this month? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think most people don't get the kind of financial support that I got post-school. And
there's a safety net.
Yeah. And it was really, really, really amazing. But at some point, you have to take care of yourself. And I'm in that place now where I am living very cautiously, I guess would be the word.
Responsibly?
Responsibly, kind of. But I don't know if all people – responsible is kind of is up for interpretation. Like, somebody from home might not think it's responsible because they might think that if I could make more money, I should be making more money. But responsible to me is living as inexpensively as I can and saving as much as I can while following my dream and not letting that go by. So let me explain what I mean by that, because I know that's a lot to unpack. I am paying less rent now than I was paying when I was getting helped out. I'm cooking all of my meals. I'm making sure that I go to the right gas stations, which is a weird thing, you know, it's a big one. I'm not just getting all of my groceries at Whole Foods, even though, God, I love it there. Like, all of those things that when you start cutting costs, you look at.
Hashtag adulting.
Hashtag adulting. And, you know, I lost the Mercedes and went to a Volkswagen, which I love 10 times more than my Mercedes that I ever liked. I that was the easiest one, but I'm not living as well off as I was living when I was younger. And this past week, I was offered an opportunity to work somewhere full time. And that full time place would make my life a lot easier because I wouldn't have to work 100 hours, which is I'm working about 85 to 100 hours every week right now. I wouldn't work that much. I would get paid more than I'm paid some years, and enough that I could definitely save. And I would have one place that I go and just do that job. But that job, which happens a lot in this industry, was requiring me to have that job and that job alone. And right now, I'm all over the place.
Contractually.
Yeah. And it makes sense because you can't be in two places at once. Mm-hmm. So if you're working somewhere full time, then it's hard to be other places. And also, a lot of things in the industry look at other places as competition, which it's other places non-compete. Are. Yeah. So for multiple different reasons. But I turned that down because I have to remember that even though I'm making less money by turning that down, probably, because you never know in this industry what's going to come freelance-wise, but I'm probably going to make a lot less money and work more hours, I'm going to get more exposure because I'm in more places, make more connections, have more opportunities, and I can still look for other things and be with you guys here and all over the place. And to me, that was worth it, even though it means that I don't have as nice of a lifestyle. And that was really hard for my people in my corner that are not in the industry, the people back home who all own homes now and are having kids and are married, to understand.
Well, I'm sure also like they look at it and they say, well, you moved out here to get a job. Here's a job. And yet you're not taking it.
Right. Right. And also I wouldn't be able to do my Groundlings, take my acting classes, which is why I really came out here so that I could be an actress. And this wasn't in that field. It was in the entertainment industry, but not in the acting space. And they think like as long as you're out there and working a job, it encompasses everything when it really – really doesn't. So it's interesting to talk about happiness, Michael, and bring up being happy because I'm trying really hard these days to figure out what makes me happy that has nothing to do with money. Because if you decide to follow your dream, whatever that dream may be, you have to figure out what brings you happiness that has nothing to do with finances, because you are signing up for a life of possibly being not financially stable.
Yeah, there's a reason they say starving artist.
Yeah, for sure. But there's tons of other careers that are really challenging too that I don't understand as well, but I'm sure there's starving XYZ, whatever you are, because artist means a lot of different things too.
Do you think, is there any hesitation? And I think a lot, I'm asking this, I think other people feel this way. Do you think there's any hesitation for you of just doing one thing for 20 years? Does that scare you?
Are you calling what we do one thing?
I'm saying one job with one company for 20 years. Does that scare you?
I would never be able to do that.
Why?
Because if that job was being a star of a TV show, like I think I could do that, but I like to tell stories, so that's – unless there was room for that 20 years of stories, it's hard to say you can't do anything else. Right now, I am 27 years old, so if by the time I was done with that, I was 47, I would still be able to make my own projects and hopefully would have the clout to do that. So if I got to pick the job and all of the circumstances, and I could still, even if it wasn't for finances, write my own stuff on the side and do things like that, then yes. But
I was going to say that because, like, you're not turning things down right now.
Yeah.
And that is sometimes enticing of things come and you can say, wow, this is a great opportunity. I want to do this. Whereas if you're in something that is great, but you're just used to having this lifestyle where you do this job and then this job and then this job looks fun and I want to do it and then this job. Sometimes having that one thing, it's millennials, I think a lot – I'm not saying for you. But I'm saying a lot of people, I think, see that and are like, but then I'm stuck. But then I'm confined and I can't get out of that. And it's like – it's commitment.
Well, I've worked for Kevin and Maria for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And if they let me, I'll work for them for 90 more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have no problem working for the same people, the same place for a long period of time. My problem is when you can't work multiple places because it's all about diversifying. And mm-hmm. if you aren't able to do that in this industry, you never know when you're hitching your wagon to something that's going to fall out. And I'm not talking about Kevin and Marie in that situation, but say I had worked for Harvey for the last 9 years and he was the only person I had ever worked for. Now what? What do you do?
I think Kevin would argue or advise, not argue, Kevin would advise that having something stable and consistent like that is good no matter what because you have the experience to show for it and you have the...
That's true. And there's also a difference between attaching yourself to a person mm-hmm. and a corporation. And this is the opportunity was corporate.
Okay.
And there is not as much loyalty. Not that people aren't loyal in corporations, but do you think that... And it wasn't Yahoo, but do you think that Yahoo knows all of their hosts, all of the people? I don't think that the president of Yahoo has any idea,
no.
or any loyalty to no. anybody there. And I don't know. I don't know the president of Yahoo. Maybe he or she does. Who's the president of Yahoo?
Mr. Yahoo.
Maybe Mr. Yahoo should get with Mrs. Bonjour. We're just labeling all different people now. Bonjour, what do you think? Would you have a hard time?
Marissa Ann Mayer.
Oh, look, I'm glad I said or woman. Marissa Ann Mayer.
She can still be with Mrs. Bonjour if
that's true.
That's what they were like.
Not in Michael's heaven, but in some people's heaven. Bonjour, would it scare you to have the same job for 20 years? One job?
It would be scary unless, again, I think you were touching upon this, that, you know, it's every day stays. I still have the same fire every day. You know, things are different. You don't know what to expect. You're on your toes.
You get to be creative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we talked about this when I took that full-time job at the beginning of January. And it was like, I've gone for the last how many years of having a job for 2 years max. And then it was 2 years in a different place. And then it was moving out to LA to do something else. And then I'm doing hosting for this job 1 week and hosting for this job another week. And now it's like, oh my goodness, this could be a position where I'm 20, 30 years. Like, what if? But I'm in it. Now I'm having to say no to things. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's okay for that to be hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Having to say no to things is very challenging. And I'm really bad at making decisions. I don't know about you guys, but I'm super bad at making decisions. But this one, I will say, was kind of a no-brainer for me.
So it's great. It's great that you know that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Bonjour. Sorry, Jules.
Okay. It was quick. So it was a decision that you didn't have to like sit down and do a pros and cons list. It was like a no-brainer.
Yeah, totally. But I think probably because I've thought about it many of I've had a similar I've been offered full-time jobs before. And so I'm in a slightly different position now because I tell people this openly, I was financially doing better 2 years ago than I am today. And that is something to stomach as a 27-year-old that you were doing better as a 25-year-old financially. I'm a bigger talent now. I have more followers. I'm like a quote-unquote hotter commodity. I'm offered more gigs. But I was financially doing better then because that's the way that the industry works sometimes and there are ebbs and flows. So I when I thought about it before, I was in a different place. And it was hard, Bonjour, to think like, okay, this sets me up, you know, then I'm set and that I don't have to worry. But it still wasn't a challenging decision because I would rather continue to cook for myself and be able to pay rent, but not be able to go on every trip and not be, even though these goddamn weddings and I have another one this weekend, but not do all the vacation. Every one of my friends takes at least once a year vacation with their significant other. Ben and I have never gone on a vacation. We've been together for 3 years and we've never gone anywhere. So that's like something that I have decided to give up. And I would do that 10 out of 10 times if I think it's better for my career. And taking a full-time position right now for what it was is not right for my
career.
And
I think that's important to highlight because it is what it was. Because, you know, I asked you before the show of like, would there be a level at which you would take that?
Yes.
And yes. You know, if it is
because
an amount that is...
financially making enough that you can save enough that when you're done, you can make your own project or on the side, you can make your own project. Or if there's enough exposure that it can bring you whatever it is. And this place is huge and does have exposure, but you need to make sure that it's right for you, which this was not for me.
Yeah. And again, the non-compete of not being able to do anything else. And Kev's talked about that with Maria's contract. They made sure to write that in. You can still do Sirius. You can still do these other gigs.
Right.
It's important, especially in the jobs that we take.
Exactly.
To diversify.
Very important. Should we get to the laughter part of this show?
Oh, that was like a Louis C.K. joke.
The bad transitions. So in case you haven't, if you've been living under a rock, the reason I keep making all these jokes about how funny all the news is that the news this past week, and I never do this, I took to Twitter 3 times for depressing ass things because the news this week made you just want to like hide under a rock and never come out.
Yeah.
But that's the news and it's important that we talk about and we will try to keep it as uplifting and informative and whatever as we can. But God, did the world suck this week.
And in order to be uplifting, I'm going to play your 90s greatest hits for you, Rock.
Yes, thank you.
I feel like the news this week was like there was so much negative stuff. And then they're like, well, we need to counteract this with something. So let's throw in 20% stories that are completely outrageous.
Yes.
And make you go WTF.
Oh, yeah. We do have a couple of those.
And we have a couple of those. So we did try to balance.
This is what I did the other day as I was seeing sad news. In between every sad news story, I Googled like American Idol contest does well or something and just watched these like kids making their dreams come true. And I was like, okay, there is hope in the world.
There's hope.
So if you have to pause this video and just search some like some 13-year-old living their dream, you know, do that for a little bit.
Well,
then come back to us.
The big news, I think, of this week, no matter how old you are, no matter what side of the aisle, it's good to memorialize and remember this person. John McCain, senator he served in public office for, I think, 36 years, ran for president twice, was a Republican nominee in 2008, and he was a prisoner of war, served our country in Vietnam. He passed away this week. He was 81, and he had glioblastoma, which I know, Roxy, is the same cancer that your mother has, the same cancer that Maria has,
that Lisa has, not Maria has.
Oh, I thought they had the...
Glioblastoma is a type of cancerous tumor in your brain, which Maria does not have. Hers was non-cancerous. Totally fine. I'm only clarifying just so nobody out there goes and tweets like... Maria has the, because that's not the case. But yes, it is the same kind of tumor that took my mom. And it's the same kind of tumor that takes a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It seems to me, and this is not statistic wise, but that this is becoming more and more popular because of
common. That's a
popular
better way to put it.
Seems like people want it.
And everyone's like, why don't
it's
I
very,
have it?
It's very common these days. And they think that, you know, brain tumors have to do with technology and cell phones and electrical currents and things like that. So there's so many things you guys can look up about what you guys can do. Because let me tell you something, and I'm sure Maria will attest to this. There is no worse illness in the whole fucking world. Like this, sorry, Mrs. Bonjour. That was my one swear of the day. But it was a good one. And even in PG-13 movies, you get one swear. So I'm still good,
it's
right?
It's true.
It's horrible, and they haven't figured it out. And for anybody out there who has this, there's no better time to have it than today. and they get closer and closer every day, and you just want to treat your body as well as you can, eat as little sugar as you can, exercise as much as you can, do all the things that you want to do, and just keep on kicking butt, because people do live with gliosis for 10, 20, like there mm-hmm. are people who do. But I do believe that the average life expectancy is somebody who is diagnosed with a glio, because a glio is by definition automatically stage 4, is 6 months. So it's a beast.
And John McCain had been doing chemotherapy, doing everything for the past year, which is when they found out.
Something that it doesn't pick political sides. It comes to anybody, anywhere, anytime, any culture, any society. And I was disgusted reading tweets, truly disgusted, saying that this man deserved this. Look at his political opinions.
Terrible.
One time he used this word, and I'm going to withstand from saying the word, but I wouldn't wish a glio on Hitler. And that's my biggest enemy of all time, as the little Jew girl that I am, but also because, like, come on, how could anybody not be?
I think he's top 3 on a lot of people's lists.
He's definitely up there, and I wouldn't wish it on him, because it's a beast. And it for anybody to use this time as a political platform to talk about what they didn't like. And by the way, I'm saying this straight up as a Democrat. You guys know I'm a very liberal person. For anybody to sit there and rip on McCain right now when, have you seen who he's left behind and the tears that are being shed? Because, oh God, are they televising it? Anybody who's doing that, tweeting at his family, hashtagging his name with that, tweeting back at me after I tweeted, being like he was a piece of crap, he wasn't actually a hero or whatever it is, go F yourself. What is wrong with you? Like, how could anybody think that that's appropriate right now? And if you feel that way for some reason, you're allowed to dislike whoever you want. But why would you wish this kind of thing upon somebody unless you have no idea what it's like? And also keep it to yourself, you piece of crap. Like, yeah. I can't fathom why anybody would take to Twitter and say he deserved this. It's so do something better with your life. Do something better with your life.
Democrats and Republicans should both be happy with some of the things that he's done. Obviously, he was a Republican for a long time of his life, but he did so many things. He stopped Obamacare from being taken away and sided with President Obama in Obamacare like 3 or 4 years. Or like, no, it was last year. He cast the deciding vote to keep Obamacare in. And he was never someone who was just staunchly one-sided.
Well,
no,
what about
he worked across the aisle.
His last big F you to Trump.
Yeah, which, that was that.
Asking Obama and Bush to give his eulogy and not inviting Trump.
Not even inviting him.
Yeah.
And
which, by the way, you know you've made it when you have invitations to your funeral. Mm. That's like, you really made it.
Roxy, you have one in mind for sure.
I have an invitation to yours.
Yeah, just wanted to give you a
heads up. Thank you so much, babe. I have a feeling that you're going to need one to mine instead. I took a lot of drugs as a kid, man. I don't think I'm coming to your funeral. I'm so peeved by this, because we should be, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Did you learn that growing up, Michael?
Oh, of course.
Bonjour, was that something they said in French?
Yes.
In French in France? Yes.
Turn the other cheek.
Just like, why? And I know that I'm saying not nice things right now, but I'm saying not nice things about the people who are saying not nice things. Mm-hmm. So I feel as if my not nice things are valid.
Exactly. And remember, being a bystander is worse than being a bully. So
that is the lesson of the year. Bonjour. Thank you. Michael, what else you got?
Well, we move on a little south of Washington to Jacksonville, Florida, which is where, unfortunately, two people were shot and killed at a Madden event, a Madden football event. A 24-year-old who lost a match, which is what a lot of people think led to this, went out to his car, got a gun, came in, and started shooting. In addition to the 10 people who were killed, two people who were killed, 10 others were killed from gunshots. And it's crazy with this. And I look at this, and obviously I'm someone who's maybe a little more pro-gun, but what possibly could have caused this person to do this.
This is what I was thinking about the other day, and I'm so sorry if this offends somebody at home, because I don't mean it offensively, but this is really my train of thought, and I'm not a particularly PC person, so I'm just going to say it. I understand somebody committing suicide. I get it. I'm not saying I condone it, but I get the logic behind it. You don't want to be here anymore, so you take your own life. Mm-hmm. I understand killing a person. One person, a specific person. I don't condone it, but I understand what could possibly happen somebody could do to you that could make you so angry that you would want to kill them. Like somebody who has captured you or abused you. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying my brain computes that.
It's personal vengeance.
I get wanting to kill a specific person that you hate. I get wanting to kill yourself. What I don't understand, and I don't just mean that like millennials say, like, I don't get it. Like, I really don't understand, and I'm waiting for something to click with me, is why somebody would want to kill strangers. That I don't get. And then why somebody would want to kill strangers prior to then killing themselves. It doesn't connect to my brain, because I would never kill myself and I would never kill somebody else. But those make sense to me in a weird way. This, I don't know how to process it, because in no world, in no other life, in no understanding do I get you waking up one morning, going to play Madden, losing, so you take out your gun and kill strangers and then kill yourself. I don't get it. Like, what am I missing? What am I missing? Other than what, like Kevin talks about, extreme narcissism.
And it's crazy with this too, because it's not like he has always lost. He won a big tournament to get to this tournament. So you lose this one, okay, go play another one. And I think a discussion that certain people who feel one way about guns is looking at this and saying, what do video games have to do with this? So people who play these shooter games, or you're playing video games, so you're focused just on this computer and you're not really interacting with other people, violence in all forms of media, and does that normalize this for this person?
I don't think so. I don't think video games are the problem. I think, number one, and I've said this the whole time, how we raise our kids. How do you raise your children? And I don't know his parental situation, so I'm not speaking to them specifically, but if you sit your kid down in front of, they never interact with anybody else, and all they've ever seen is, all you ever played for them is that kind of thing, then maybe, I guess, but is that the video game's problem? No. It's about parenting. What? And number two, Michael, you're going to be mad at me because I'm not trying to take away your right to hunt, man, but gun control. How do we keep letting this happen and do nothing? How about we try something, and if it doesn't work, we try something else? Because what we're doing now isn't working.
I think you need both. And again, I've talked on this show, I'm a proponent of certain types of gun control, certain types of limit from some people getting weapons. But I think the anger issue and the emotion you have to tackle as well. You can stop the ability, but you also have to stop the drive.
Yeah.
And that's where I look at this case. And I do think video games and violence, where you see it and it's so easy, and it just becomes second nature that you're seeing blood and you're seeing people being shot. And then you're playing these first-person shooter games where you're literally the one doing the killing, and you're like, oh, well, I'm just...
But why are there millions of people, including myself, who can play shooter games and not go shoot somebody?
Why are there millions of people who own firearms that don't go kill people?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
because
it's okay, because they're normal.
But there are some that don't do that.
Yes. And so you're not going to take video games away from everyone.
Well, because that wouldn't sit. If you took video games, you think that if there were no video games, there would be no problems.
I'm not saying there would be no problems, but I think
because if there were no guns,
I think there would be.
If you eliminate guns, period,
people will find other ways to kill other people.
There's no way this guy at the tournament.
Cain killed Abel with a rock.
Do not go biblical on me right now.
I'm just saying. People
person
have
I lost my virginity to, whose name was Abel. Thank you very much.
People have killed each other long before there were guns.
Michael, there's no way somebody loses a video game and then takes out a knife and is able to stab multiple people.
You're not able to stab multiple people, but you're still able to kill.
Think about Vegas. Yeah. How many people are you going to get with a knife or a rock?
Again, and that's where I am a proponent of certain limitations. But people have been killing each other long before.
I didn't say there would be no deaths, but I think you get one person max.
But isn't the responsible thing to do that?
Less deaths is good.
Yes, but isn't the responsible thing also to tackle the root issue, the drive, the anger, the emotion of how you can cure that?
Which you think is video games?
I think it's certainly playing a role.
Wow, I think it plays no role.
Really?
Yeah, literally zero. Zero. Because kids find ways for things. Have you ever watched video of kids hanging up animals and skinning them and murdering their own dogs and stuff? People who are sick and twisted are sick and twisted.
Yeah, and
you think they're like that because of video games?
Well, I think
I can't believe video games get blamed for everything. It's so wild.
No, I'm not placing full responsibility. And I think that's an issue that a lot of people have with this discussion is they look at it and be like, oh, well, you don't want this gun reform? Then you're against all gun reform. Oh, you think this is partly a problem? You think this is the full problem. And it's not. I say that you have
to. So what part of gun reform are you against?
So I think certainly you need to up background checks and who can have access. And
no, not
what
are you for. What are you against?
Oh, so one that I'm actually against, which I'm glad actually got taken away. In California, it's a 10-round magazine for a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have a gun that is a 17. And there was a law in place that has been overruled, and it was appealed and overruled, that brought it down to 10. And that would have literally made me have to give up all my magazines and be able to buy new ones. It would have been
Bonchar,
a cost to me,
you,
and why would I?
Let me ask you a question, Bonchar. Would you rather a shooter at an event like this be able to have 10 magazines instead of 17.
10 rounds.
10 rounds, yeah, in a magazine instead of 17. Or Michael have to buy, God forbid.
No, I understand. And again, when you're posing
new equipment.
When you're posing those as the only
Bonchar,
two options.
Just curious. It's a tough call, right?
It's a tough call. But you know what? Michael, I'll give you the floor. I'm excited to see what you have coming for us.
Well, those are the only two options.
I'm glad we're
up
in the
air. Yes, you're obviously going to pick the no deaths. But that's where you look at it and say there are multiple different options. Forcing someone else who has done nothing wrong and punishing that person.
That as a punishment?
Because it would cost me $150.
And that's a punishment?
It's a financial punishment. I'm not saying it's
a reward that you help save the world, man, and people's lives.
Again, people will kill each other no matter what.
Less people is good. I will take less deaths.
Again, and that's where I think certain things will help, and that's where I say you have to tackle the problem in another way.
Or in all of the ways.
We don't want to attack them in all the ways. If we're attacking them in all the ways, then there's going to be no more R-rated movies and shootings and movies. Because if there was none of that, people wouldn't see it, people wouldn't grow accustomed to it.
Honest to God, I don't. If there was a test, if there was some kind of psychological, if there had been like a long-term study that proved this, which there hasn't been, which I've looked into so many frickin' times, fine. But even today, if you told me, let's try this for a year and see if it helps, I would say, sure. I'll try anything. I'll try fucking anything.
How many mass shooters?
That didn't count. I beeped the middle part.
How many mass shooters have they gone to their places of residence and found that they were studying other mass shooters and comparing themselves to those other mass shooters?
A lot. Why?
Exactly. So you see this, and you become numb to it. And that is what video games do.
Are you suggesting taking away Google?
No, but having things out there in the media, being able to watch things, being able to play things.
But Michael, I'll try it. If you agree to trying,
But you can't.
Why not? Why can't I take away violence and movies?
You're going to take away all violence and movies.
I would try literally anything to save lives. Because we're losing too many people.
We say that. But it's like I would try anything to avoid terrorists being on planes, which would mean grounding all planes. And then we're like, oh, but we would do that because it would save a life.
No,
are you going to travel by car?
That's not the same at all. I'm saying if you think that having no violence come out in future films, mm-hmm, and no violent video games for 1 year would make a difference.
100%.
So if you think that, I'm down. If I think that having less bullets, less guns, more reform would help. Are you willing to give up your gun for a year?
Those are different.
So you are.
But those are completely different things because there's no way that we're ever going to get rid of all violence in movies. And that is a personal decision.
And you know that we're never going to get rid of all guns. You're also making... We wouldn't be able to.
They're not exactly the same because I'm personally making that decision because I'm a firearm owner and you're not a content creator. So you're making that decision for someone else.
Bonjour. He just said I wasn't a content creator. That was really mean.
You're not making violent movies.
Don't you think that was a personal attack?
No, but I'm saying you're not making violent movies.
I spent 10 years being a content creator.
It's not a loss for you of saying, well, I have this project in the works.
What would you call me,
Bonjour?
Yeah, I would call you a content creator.
You can pull semantics, but...
Thank you.
But you're not in the middle of making an R-rated movie with a bunch of violence and having to be like, well,
you don't know.
I'm going to actually pull this. It literally affects me as a gun owner.
I'll pay you $150 easily in a heartbeat. Does that help? 100%.
What if you would have to take the new job in order to pay for it?
I would sell a piece of clothing before that. I would sell something. All right, what else do we have?
All right.
And by the way, those poor freaking kids, I feel freaking awful. And please try to – I know that I've seen a bunch of GoFundMes and whatnot going on. So if you can support, go support.
And I want to say to people listening to this, I'm so glad that we could have the discussion that we just had and be able to disagree.
The one about me being
a content creator.
Can you admit it? I'm a content creator.
Well, yes, but not in those terms.
Look, I won.
But I appreciate it because I think that's necessary to be able to have these respectful conversations and still be able to get along.
Yeah, we respect each other. What else you got?
Don't have that. Well, let's now get to Louis C.K. The whole joke that we were talking about. Louis C.K. is back, which I sound really excited there. I'm not really excited he's back, but he did perform a 15-minute set at a comedy club unannounced. Obviously, because if he had announced it, I'm sure it would have been very publicized. People would have showed up. But he showed up unannounced, gave a 15-minute set at a comedy club, New York's Comedy Cellar, on Sunday. And people are kind of very much against this, of him coming back, especially Kathy Griffin, who said that she said that it's almost like a boys' club. She said it's sick and cruel that these male comics are giving each other opportunities to come back. And I want to open it up, obviously, to Roxy and Jules, because you are a female. The things that he was accused and admitted to doing are against other females.
Yeah. So, first of all, I like the clarification that you just said, because all these articles are like, allegedly. And it's like, he admitted it. He said he did it. I know it wasn't proven in court, but like, do we have to keep saying allegedly? Because he said he did it. But at the same time, I think I'm going to lose some respect from people right now, but... You know, again, on the non-PC train, I'm not as mad at him as I am at other people. And I don't have enough room inside me to be mad at too many people at once. And I think it's wrong that people who have been raping women are getting the same punishment as him. Now, was it way too soon for him to come back? Yes. But what have we seen? When somebody's back is against the wall and we've taken everything from them and they have nowhere to turn, that's now a more dangerous person. Because if you tell somebody you cannot grow, you cannot change, then what incentive do they have to grow or change if nobody will like them no matter what they do? We want people to continue to grow and be better people. And I think that he could be. Now, I'm not saying him performing this early is going to make him, but if we say as a society, no matter what you do, you can never perform again, why would he be a good dude? A lot of people are saying that, Logan Paul this week had that massive boxing YouTube fight. And a lot of people are saying he should have given all the proceeds to suicide awareness. But here's the thing. People, you can't have it both ways. You can't say he's a piece of crap and I'll never like him and then tell him that he should give away his money. Because if you're not saying you need to start repenting and then you can win us back, then he has no incentive to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. So as a society, there are some things I believe you cannot come back from and we don't have to forgive you from. Mm-hmm. Like we've gotten in this debate before, but like Hitler making a real appearance on the Tomorrow Show tonight. Ooh. If Hitler post-Holocaust was not killed, which by the way, I don't think he was. I'm a total conspiracy theorist person. Ooh. But if he wasn't and then he was like, hey, world, I'm going to do better this time. I don't think you're like, yeah, let's give him a second chance. There are certain things you can do that you're never coming back from. But there are things that Louis C.K. did that are repulsive and disgusting and wrong and messed with a lot of people's lives. But am I going to sit here and say nothing he could ever do in the future would ever make me think he was an okay person? No, I'm not going to say that, because then he's not going to try, and then he's going to be a villain. And we don't want to create villains. We want to create non-villains.
Well, it's also, you know, it's sometimes hard to look at this, I guess, of like with Louis C.K. So I'll ask you this question. How long ago was his sexual situation with the accusations?
I would say a year.
Yeah, it's coming up on a year. And I think it seems fresh because obviously we're still in the time where people are still getting accused, which is good. I'm not saying it's a bad time. But I think
Me too feels like it started a week ago.
Sometimes, yeah, it feels like it started a week ago. At this point, it's almost been a year. And at what point do you say, okay, we need to give these people a second chance in order to come back and do any good?
Right.
Because if we think there's any good that they can do, blocking them from doing anything will technically limit good.
Also, who are we really mad at in this situation? Is it the guy who is trying to make money and has motivation to be there? Or is it the club owner who didn't tell the people who were paying that this guy, who they may or may not like, was going to be on stage? Mm-hmm. Who are we really upset with? Because you can't be mad at Louis for I mean, you can. Anybody can be mad at anybody. But I don't believe it's right to be mad at somebody for trying to make a living. And that is what he's trying to do. Now, the club owner didn't need to let him this early, and he didn't need to handle it with the people at the club the way he did. But it's Louis's, it's his dream, and he's allowed to try. Whether you like it or not, he's allowed to.
And again, I think there's a time when you can be angry, a time when you can be upset, a time when there should be a punishment and maybe expulsion or suspension. But at a certain point, like you're saying, people got to forgive, and that will bring so much peace. And, like, you know, I think a lot of the issue with people so mad in our world is because, like you were saying, I can only be mad at so many people. And everyone is trying to be mad at everyone. And it's like forgiveness brings peace. Just open for forgiveness. Again, we're not condoning what they're doing and what they did. We're not totally 100% welcoming them back. But try a little forgiveness, and you will feel better. And if they burn
and
you,
also,
that's fine.
The comparison between him and Harvey, people being like, well, what if Harvey was trying to make a comeback? Harvey was raping tons of women. Like, there's no subtler way to say that. That is, in my point of, from my perspective, that is very different than jerking off in front of a handful of people. Mm-hmm. Which is also gross and disgusting and weird and wrong and sexual harassment for sure. But different than raping people. It just is. And we can't treat them like they're the same. Well, we can, but I don't think we should. In all fairness, I will say this. I have a bias here because he's from my hometown. And like he was our hometown hero growing up. Him and Matt LeBlanc. And BJ Novak. And I think he is probably the funniest comedian that he was the funniest, I think, that there was. So will I say that I think that has no effect on my feelings on this? No, I'm a human being. And I think it does affect me a little bit that I really liked him. It would be easier for me to hate somebody that I didn't like already. So I do want to say that just to say, in all fairness, maybe that's where some of this is coming from, but I don't think it's where all of it's coming from. I know it's not where all of it's coming from. Those are my thoughts on Louis C.K. that just lost me 200 followers.
Are we ready to get to the real tragedy?
I am so ready.
I mean, this poor woman who had to cancel her wedding because her friends didn't donate tens of thousands of dollars,
poor thing,
to make her feel like Beyonce for a day.
It's really, really effed up.
I mean, what in the world is wrong with people. So this Canadian woman took to Facebook to post
lovely,
about
lovely woman,
lovely, not Bridezilla. I mean, probably as far opposite of bridezilla as you could be, posted to Facebook that she just wanted a dream wedding and that unfortunately she was calling off her wedding about a week before it actually was supposed to take place because her friends would not pitch in $1,200 a piece for her to have a dream wedding.
Rude AF.
I mean, can you be more selfish?
When did we start requiring our friends to pay for our weddings? I told you guys this before. I have been asked twice now to GoFundMe for a friend's wedding. I don't understand. If you're desperate to get married, go to the courthouse. If you don't have the money, you can still marry somebody for about $100.
Her fiance, what could have been her husband, proposed that at a certain point in this whole saga.
If you do have the money,
she was appalled.
Do what you want if you have the money, but what the actual F is wrong with you that you think your friends should pay for your wedding? In what world? Like, in what freaking world?
She said in the Facebook post, quote, specifically asked for cash gifts. How could we have our wedding that we dreamed of without proper funding?
Wow, this is the brattiest thing I've ever heard. Bonjour. How's this go over in France?
Appropriate. No, this is insanity. I honestly really I wish Kevin was here because I actually I don't because I feel like he would say well, I don't want to be here anymore.
No, I think he loves this girl.
I think
he's all in on her. I think he makes her a star. Maybe we should
give up your wedding podcast.
Yeah. Oh my god, I can't with her. I just can't. I can't. Michael,
do you think that guests should have to, and I guess this is part of the question, because I've heard people say, like, if you have a destination wedding or, like, at what point should people who are getting married pay maybe for an inconvenience, or should they take into account the cost that other people are spending? And I've even heard this with anyone in the bridal party. If you're having to buy a tux or you're having to buy a gown, should you, as someone who is getting married, look at that and be like, I'm not going to choose the most expensive option. I'm going to look out for the finances of my people or pay for their dresses, pay for the tux rental.
I think that for me personally, after being in four weddings in the last year and attending many more, and I'm in two weddings next summer, and I have a wedding this weekend, so just know that when I'm giving you advice, I'm well-versed in the wedding scene. I don't think, for me personally, I will not get married until I can either pay for my bridesmaid's stuff. So, if I decide to have a bachelorette party, I'll either have a dinner in LA, so it's super cheap for everybody here, and then I'll fly myself back east and do a dinner back there and call it a day, or I'll be rich and I'll invite everybody to come to the place that I've rented out and maybe have them get themselves there or something like that. But I can't believe how much money people ask of you. I have told you guys I'm spending an average of $2,000 per wedding I'm going to. $2,000. That's the dress, the bachelorette party, the gifts, for the wedding, the gift for the engagement party, the dress, shoes, the alterations, the every single one of these things. $2,000, which is why I have to think about taking a full-time job. I mean, it's insane. But, like, at some point, yeah, Michael, I do think you either find the cheaper option or you cough up the money.
One thing that
and maybe that means that you get the band that you didn't like as much because you're helping your friends out.
One thing I've seen a lot of guys do, and I've been in weddings like this, which I appreciate, is instead of renting the tux, which for guys can literally be $275 or more, which is a rental for one day, you'll offer to be able to buy a suit. Say, hey, I'm looking at this suit. If everyone could go buy it and you can get a deal where everyone pays even $200, $250, I'll take that, because at least I have something that's tangible after the wedding day that I can use. It's more of an investment than literally $275 for one day, and you're like, well, that was a waste.
Yeah. One of the things I like recently is one of the girls I was in a wedding, she said to the bridesmaid, I just want you guys to wear black, whatever dress you want. Mm-hmm. And then great. At least you can buy your own style or whatever that I can wear all the time. And for me personally, I borrowed a black dress from a friend. When you're assigned a dress, you can't borrow anything, so you have to pay the money. So yeah, there's definitely ways to get around it. I'm not a fan of people treating their friends like bottomless money pits. Asking people for $1,200, you've lost it.
Each. I do want to point out, it was great while we were listening to that. Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You was playing in the background. I don't know if you noticed that. It was
great.
Have
you guys seen that doc yet that I told you guys to watch? Oh, it's so good. Yeah, that black dress is the one that I wore to the girl who's – I borrowed that from our very own AfterBuzz host, Sarah Stretton. And it fit well enough. It was like a little not great, but I was like, it's not my wedding.
Yep.
So that was it. Michael, what else you got?
Well, after the wedding always comes the honeymoon, and there's always, you know, ways to spice it up, certainly with lingerie for men now, which apparently is a thing. Saw this on Twitter this week. Jules can go to Google and kind of look this up. It is now, it's the weirdest thing. And I'm just, I want to just have people see the pictures and just, it's that middle story. It's the middle with the guy with there, that one. That is the story. That is the picture that headlined this story. And it says, according to the website, it's not just men getting a kick out of the soft, luxurious underwear, but the women love it too. And you can get bras, matching knickers.
So right now, for the iTunes listeners, we're looking at a picture of a ripped guy with a six-pack or an eight-pack and all the muscles and a bra that looks like... Jules, do you know what I'm talking about? Those things you wear on your head that when you shower?
Yeah, it looks very soft, no padding, nice little color we got going on.
Yeah, that pink color is good.
But
maybe some hearts.
What this is like the first bra you get, I feel like.
Yeah.
Men can own their own silk nighties, baby dolls, and bodysuits.
Here's the thing. I've never found it particularly attractive for guys to wear whatever, but like I have girlfriends who like if guys wear certain briefs or like
that picture.
Ugh. Or like there's that episode of Friends where somebody puts where Chandler the panties. Or is it Joey?
It's Joey who wears a thong.
I'm talking about the one where Chandler was going to put on Julia Roberts' panties in that.
Oh.
But girls think that that's cute. Whatever. But for a man to go out and buy a bra, I don't... What's the sexy part? Bonjour? Sexy?
No. I'm good.
So I'll say this. What would you do if, in wintertime, guys are wearing a sweatshirt, shirt, you can't really tell, and you go back to their place, and things start getting a little frisky, and then he takes the sweatshirt off and the shirt off, and he's wearing a bra. What do you do?
Truthfully, not playing around, not making a joke, deal breaker.
Yeah, 100%.
Deal breaker, period. Like,
yeah.
I don't even like a guy who spends too long doing their hair, like, which is ironic because my limbo man spends so effing long on his hair. But it, like the high maintenance of a guy who wants to wear lingerie, get out of town. Are you kidding? Do you see these fake man bun story this week?
Ugh.
Men are buying these fake man buns. Like, what happened to just a guy? The only difference between what guys are doing is some of them have a beard and some of them don't. Like, why don't fix it if it ain't broken? I don't really get it. Ugh. It's also expensive and unnecessary. And I don't want to undo your bra to hook up with you.
Could you do it with one hand, though?
Yes, definitely. Anybody who's a woman can. Because we've done it our whole lives. Bonjour? Agree?
Yeah, 100%
yeah,
okay. Agree.
Yeah. If you are a woman who cannot unhook with one hand, you are very flat-chested and do not frequently wear a bra. I don't mean that meanly, but like...
It's true.
That'd be like saying, but can you tie your shoe?
You would hope.
Like, yes, I can. Anything else for us, Michael?
That wraps up the most important news that we have.
Wow, that's it?
We told people it was like 80% really serious and 20% of like WTF.
Hmm. All right, I like it. Bonjour, when's the last time you got laid? Recently?
No. I got laid a long time ago. I actually I've been good this week, but last Thursday, I started just eating so much. Has this ever happened to you? I literally was eating
sometimes
crazy.
I'm a bottomless pit.
I just want to say, when you said, I've been good, I thought we were still talking about sexual stuff. And I was like, what is bad?
Me too. I don't really know.
Well, anyways, I was just on this trip, just eating all the time. I'm like, why am I eating so much? And then I was at AfterBuzz and I was watching a show.
Oh, did you think you were pregnant?
No. And I was like, there's like a sex scene. And I was like, oh, you're very horny, Julia.
Oh.
You've been eating your feelings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was my only question. It was not relevant. I was just curious. Michael, last time you got laid?
Ooh. I went to Hawaii a year ago.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Tomorrow Show. Don't forget to message our real captain at Undergaro and let him know how much you guys miss him. He'll be back with us at some point. In life.
So many scams.
So many scams. Michael, until next show, they can find you at The Only MC.
That's it.
Any cool guests going on right now?
So we just wrapped up season 12.
Congratulations.
Had Ashley Eckstein, which I don't know if you know who that is. You actually probably appreciate. So she revolutionized the comic industry for women. Of Comic Con.
It sounds familiar. What is?
So she started the company Her Universe.
Oh, of course I know Her Universe.
Her Universe, which before her, 10 years ago, certainly sci-fi and Comic Con was majorly a boys' world where it was like, oh, this is the total stereotype. You have to be a man. No, females really enjoy going to Comic Con.
Her Universe is amazing. They've got great stuff.
Yeah. And so they made women-specific clothing.
Yeah.
Not just unisex shirts that mainly were for men, but women could probably buy a size down.
And they're nerdy and they're rad. Yeah. They've got a lot of great Star Wars
stuff
right now. She is fantastic.
She's just so great. Such
I was like,
a kind,
I know that sounds familiar.
Being, yeah.
That's awesome. Bonjour, what do you got going on? At Bonjour Juliette, by the way.
At Bonjour Juliette, thank you. Nothing much. To be determined.
You're always scamming, too.
I'm always scamming.
And you guys can find me at Roxy Stryer. Until next time.
Do your best to make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.